That's Robert Plant from the Band of Joy album. It's a song he's written there with Buddy Miller called Central 209. It's 14 minutes to 2. You're on 702 ABC Sydney. Tony Martin's managed to get up the most irregular television series ever devised. Basically, it seems to be if Tony runs into anybody he likes and he wants to talk to them and there's a camera handy, there'll be another episode. Episode 1 of A Quiet Word With begins tomorrow night, and the first one is with Bill Bailey, and I'm hoping Tony Martin's in a Melbourne studio. Hello, Tony.
Hello, yes, I am. I should just warn you that moments before we're about to start this segment, as the song was fading, your producer said, I should warn you, he's going to try and throw you during the segment.
I did what?
So I don't know what that means.
But why? You know... Leave the studio now, you traitor. You know, if I am going to try and throw Tony, you don't tell them, producer. God, what?
I'm ready for anything. I've just been on Triple J and that was I was thrown for the entire segment.
Well, all I can say to you is never buy a turtle from a Mexican. That's all I can say.
There you go. I knew that was, it was something like that.
Yeah. Did he tell you that?
I'm not sure. I was confused. I was hearing Robert Plant.
Yeah. Well, see, what happened was that the first caller I had today said, well, James, all I can say is never buy a turtle from a Mexican.
Oh, right. So do you think he was attempting to win a competition with his friends? That often happens.
It could
I'm
going
to call up this radio show and get these five words, hovercraft.
Yep.
Beneficent, you know, just I've done that myself.
Yeah, it could have been that. It could have been that. There was a fabulous one here, and it was somebody to someone like Stan Zemanek in the evening, where an extraordinary string of callers managed to get the conversation back to India.
Yes, that's on YouTube.
They would go, and it just kept on going. It went for like an hour, and every single caller that got through started to do this. But all I can say, Stan, is it's not as bad as it is in India.
That's right. He was slowly driven insane. I was never a fan when I was doing commercial radio of the prank call. I always side with the victim in that instance. But Mick Malloy did once goad me into calling a shop called Shed World, I think in Newcastle. Mm. And he said, I want you to, whoever answers the phone, you have to have a conversation with them where you use the word shed. Where you get that person who answers to say the word shed exactly 20 times. Right. And I did manage to achieve that. And it's on an album. And I still occasionally get a royalty check for I think it's played on American radio. It'll be Shed World, 16 cents. Yes.
Do you send 8 cents to the shed to Shed World? It seems like they had a fair part in it.
I think, yeah, Shed World will be cut in for a deal at some point.
Well, Tony Martin, it's lovely to have you back doing anything, really. You seem to be sadly underused in this world. The marvellous work on Get This. I've got a text here that says, you know, with all due respect, James, Get This was the best radio ever made. And, you know, I wanted to pass it on to you. You're the author of a couple of beautiful memoirs, Lolly Scramble and A Nest of Occasionals, as well as all your fine work in comedy and with Martin Malloy over the years. So it's good you've got something up and running.
Well, I have actually been pretty busy. I spent the last 6 months on a TV show called The Librarian, that doesn't start till I think October 13. So you'll be able to see some of my work then. Mm. But yeah, Get This. It's great that you mentioned that because it's now the show was only on for 2 years, and it's now been 2.5 years since it was taken off. Mm. But people are still discovering it for the first time on iTunes, where you can still get all the podcasts.
Yep.
And there's 164 of them. And the thing that seems to be happening is wherever I go, I'll walk past a bus shelter and someone will have an iPod on and they'll just yell a number at me. They'll just go, 72! What that means is they're up to podcast 72. And they're still living in a world where John Howard is Prime Minister and Big Brother is still on the telly. It's like a time machine, that show.
That's lovely delayed applause, isn't it?
It is. It's like there's been a 2.5 year delay. People are still finding it.
Sure. Well, it says there's another text just come in. I just wanted to say hi to Tony, still listening to Get This podcast nearly every day. Love your work.
Amazing.
And the windswept one is dearly missed.
Ah, well, that's, of course, the late Richard Marsland. He was a windswept genius, and I'm sure a lot of fans listening today.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's an odd thing, isn't it, that something can have that kind of life, which didn't used to happen before. I mean, you know, DGEN sold... Well, I suppose you'd still be getting to see DGEN would still now be living and living and living as well.
Well, yeah, I think, well, The Late Show in particular has benefited from being released in a best-of format because now TV shows come out, you know, in their entirety on DVD. But luckily The Late Show has been polished and shined up. I think if people were to see the unedited shows as they went to air... It might not be remembered quite so well. There was a lot of throwing to clips and then a 5-second gap before something came in because it was live.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's still remembered.
Now, a quiet word with, and tomorrow's is with Bill Bailey, does sound like, you know, fairly extraordinary. It seems as though you've been able to get an interview show up without really guaranteeing that you'll be there every week or even that there'll be another one.
Well, I'm supposed to do six of them across the course of a year, but it's because of this wonderful time slot they have at 10:05 on a Tuesday on the ABC on ABC One called Artscape, which is, you never know what it's going to be. Like every fourth week, it's the book review show or the book club.
Right.
So we're just slotting them in there, and it is booked out quite a lot in advance. Right. So, yeah, the Bill Bailey was recorded 3 months ago, but there's no topical references, thankfully. We did have a different government, I think, when it was filmed, but nothing topical. But it's a lot of, I just figured, you know, there are so many shows where you see a celebrity on TV and before you know it, they're talking about their relationship with their father or their private life. And I just, when I see comedians, I go, I want to just see them talking about comedy, how they got into comedy, because I'm quite the comedy nerd myself. And that's what you can expect from the Bill Bailey show tomorrow night. It's just 26 minutes of shop talk.
Yep. And did he do it? Was Bill happy to talk shop?
He loved it. Yeah. It was good to just, you know, I think he was happy to talk to someone who didn't have notes, because I'm such a nerd for Bill Bailey. I knew all about his career. I'm producing flyers at one point for shows that he did in Edinburgh nearly 20 years ago that even he doesn't remember.
Right.
So it's a very low budget show. We couldn't afford to have any clips, and in fact, I don't think we could afford to even cut to a photograph. So I've brought in. I have this amazing box at my house where I have kept every single flyer, every single program for I think all but four comedy shows that I've seen since I saw Dick Emery at the Founders Theatre in Hamilton, New Zealand, in 1979. And even if I just go to a pub comedy night, I'll be hanging around at the end going, have you got a flyer or something?
That's a nice collection to have, isn't it?
It's great. You can just find things from 20 years ago and, you know, you go, oh, wow, that person who's now really famous was in that terrible RMI TV review.
The reason I was interested is whether you talk shop, because I've found about a 50% strike rate with the comedians, that some of them, happy to talk about technique and what they do and all that sort of stuff. A lot of them, in particular, I wonder whether it's the American ones, regarded as a sort of secret profession where you're not allowed to talk about any of that. And also, I'm not going to do anything funny because people are paying to see me be funny tonight. So I'm not going to do anything funny on your show right now.
Well, I think what you're up against there is, firstly, comedians don't like to bust out their material on the radio. You know, they'll sort of, you know, because there's something that nobody's going to laugh at when they see them that night or the next night. But also, it is a very dangerous thing to talk about comedy because it's, you know, it tends to dissolve and not be funny anymore. But I think with Bill Bailey, because he knew that I'd done a bit of comedy myself, I think he knew that I wasn't going to, you know, kill the frog, as they say.
Kill the frog, yeah. Yeah, bring it up to boiling point too soon.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. And so what did he, you know, what did you end up talking about?
Well, the great thing, see, what I like is 26 minutes is a very long time to watch someone, you know, being interviewed. So, but the great thing about talking for that long with someone is you can get through all the big questions. I talk about how he got into comedy, how Black Books got started. But in over 26 minutes, you can go on to those sort of trivial diversions that really radio thrives on, because radio is great for talking about small matters. But if you had you know, Bill Bailey on your interview show for 10 minutes, for example, and you wasted 3 minutes of it talking to him about how many André Rieu DVDs there are in the shops, it would seem like a missed opportunity at the very least. But over 26 minutes, you can go off onto all kinds of tangents. So we're talking about the bloke who's replaced Dave in Chaz and Dave for a couple of minutes. We're talking about old prog rock albums from the 70s where you'd open them and they'd fold out again and then again. Yeah. Remember those sort of album covers?
Yeah, love it. And it'd be Stonehenge.
That's right.
That sort of,
Or Rick Wakeman was the one I remember.
Well, that was just all keyboards. You folded it out and there was yet more keyboards.
That's right.
Just kept on going. But see, that's, I mean, I think that's an interesting point that you're onto, and that perhaps Andrew Denton was also onto with Enough Rope, that it's a pity that TV doesn't go a bit more tangential. That if you've got 10 minutes with Bill Bailey, just be funny about anything. Just get him to talk about anything. You don't have, you know, like what I always find dull is the way it's always so standardised. So tell me about your show. Tell me about the movie that you're in. So it must have been exciting for you to be in that. You know, they don't let them just sort of range for a bit.
Well, no, that we discovered this on Get This, where we would have the guests for a full hour. Now, as you know, when someone's got a book to plug and they're on, say, usually on commercial radio, that you're only on for one segment. So you've got to get to the book immediately or get to the film. And we would sort of say to the guests, look, don't, you know, we may not get to the book till the 40-minute mark, but don't panic. And so you could go off onto great tangents. And the one I always remember is we had Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, you know, from Shaun of the Dead and Spaced and Hot Fuzz on. And people still talk to me about how we wasted 4 minutes of that interview discussing the voiceovers on 24 with Kiefer Sutherland and whether he records them all in one go, whether he goes into a booth and goes, the following takes place between 12 a.m. and 1 a.m. or whether he just goes, does one a week, whether they just get him aside. And Nick Frost was claiming, look, if you turn the volume up, you can hear an edit. I reckon he's only recorded the following takes place between once, and then they've just got him to do all the times and cut them in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nonsensical discussion to have on radio, and yet people love that, and they mention it to me all the time. But I think if you talk like that on an interview on the television, it would seem like you were just wasting film. You know what I'm saying? I think with this show, because we go on for so long enough, we can get both. We can get the serious biographical questions in and the ridiculous tangents as well.
Well, if you have committed to six for the next 12 months, that's five more. So who are you hoping for?
Well, once this goes to air, people will realise it's a real show, because I've just had a lot of publicists looking at me going, are you trying to be Andrew? Are you trying to be James Valentine? I'm not quite sure which one of them are you. But now they realise it's an actual show. I'm hoping we'll get a few more people. I keep hearing, I'm one of these sad nerds that listens to the commentary tracks of movies. Do you do that?
No.
No,
I am a sad nerd, but that's not how I express it.
Well, there's so many boring ones, but every now and then I'll just hear one and I'll go, that would, like, I heard Mike Nichols, you know, Mike Nichols from originally Nichols and May then directed The Graduate. And I'd never heard him. I don't think I'd ever heard him speak outside of a Nichols and May album. And I was listening to him on the commentary track for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and he was incredibly interesting, but also incredibly witty. And I just went, that would be a great person to talk to. Someone, I'd like to get people who you haven't seen interviewed to death on other shows. Like someone mentioned Billy Connolly's coming out here, and I'm going, well, what is there to say, really? I think there must be a channel on television somewhere where it's just Billy Connolly being interviewed 24 hours a day.
Well, he's also unnecessary to interview, because you don't interview him, you just share the room. You
know? Right,
And that's fantastic, you know, like off you'll go. You don't necessarily, he's doing all that himself anyway, isn't it? So, yeah, that sounds great. That's what you should be going for. Mr. Martin, all the best with it.
Thank you, James. And I should just point out, I apologise if you've been mistaken for me, because I am often mistaken for you for some reason.
I'm mistaken for you. I'm often mistaken for Andrew Denton. More often for Denton. And I've in fact had to flee from a hotel because I was being abused about my attitude to rugby league. Listen, mate, what you said about St. George, mate, that's just, you know, the guy starts swearing at me and poking me in the chest. And I go, I'm not Andrew Denton. Nah, you buddy are, mate. Now, listen.
See, I had that at the Byron Bay Writers Festival, drunks accusing me of being, not only of being Andrew Denton, but pretending that I'm not Andrew Denton.
Exactly. Then you get accused because I'm not trying to be some wanker who's pretending they're not. I'm actually not.
Yeah, but you see, what you haven't thought of, James, is once somebody thinks you are somebody else, that's licensed to get away with murder.
He's an antagonist. He antagonises a lot of people, Andrew. Have you noticed that? He upsets a lot of people.
I didn't know about the rugby league. I don't know anything. Oh, yeah. What's he said about that?
He was part of South Sydney's thing. But anyway, it's coming up 2 o'clock. I've got to run.
Yeah, sorry.
See ya.
Tony, I know how this works.
You remember how radio works? It's 2 o'clock.